Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Thankful for all God's doing. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We'll start at verse 43. I have used this reference before, and if you preach for any amount of time and don't preach from this text, then turn in your credentials. You're missing something, because there is so much to be gained from the story of the woman with the issue of blood. So I'll start verse 43, and we'll read two verses there. There's plenty to read, and we'll talk about more of that as we go along. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which she had spent all. Somebody say all. Say it with a deep groaning. All her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border, word is also translated him, which is what we use more commonly, of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. I want to share this thought tonight: the awesome power of the end of your rope. Hallelujah. Pastor, would you pray over us tonight in Jesus' name? I can't help but ask you one more time, church. Can we do some more of that clapping? Can we do some more of that worshiping one more time before we're seated? Hallelujah. Oh, the power of God is in this place right now to do awesome things through His Word. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. This woman, and I, of course, will be delicate how I address this, but I think it's very important to understand that the word issue in this context does not refer to a matter at hand. This woman had a bleeding disorder, and it was very embarrassing for her. It was very personal. This type of disorder, and I will say this much, it was specific to women, and she was considered ceremonially unclean because of this. She was not allowed to participate in religious ceremonies according to the law. She was not allowed to get married. So she had been for 12 years spiritually isolated from intimacy. She had no support system. And during this time, she no doubt went through a great range of emotional turmoil. She had, of course, the initial diagnosis, or when this thing first began, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of frustration involved in that. There was restlessness, staying up at night. When is this going to go away? When is this going to stop? How long am I going to be with this type of condition? There was also guilt involved, because this it is certainly common with this type of condition and even other types of chronic conditions. We say, why will this not go away? Now, they didn't have access to quite the same way God's healing power that we do today. But even then, surely she asked herself, what is wrong with me? Have you ever had something wrong with you physically and you think, there's something wrong with me? I must be flawed. I must be defective. And you have a sense of guilt with that, even though you know in your mind that this is not of my own doing. This is not something that I have created for myself, but still we feel often a sense of guilt and shame with these. And no doubt she went through unsuccessful attempt after unsuccessful attempt to accept this condition. Part of that sometimes is just pretending like it's not there, tamping down your feelings, saying, I can handle this, I can deal with this, only for it to continue and for the tears to swell up one more time and she say, I cannot live with this, I cannot do with this. Now, the Bible says that she spent all her living. Sometimes we say she spent all her money, and that is true. But the Bible uses the word living. In the Greek, it is bion, B-I-O-N in our language, in our pronunciation. B-I-O, the same prefix where we get biology. In other words, that word bion refers to life. At other places, it's translated as money. It's translated as livelihood. It's translated as wealth. But it is also translated as life. She had spent all her life. She had traded in goods. She had traded in her emotional well-being. She had given everything that she had, trying to get better, trying to figure out a way to deal with this thing. 12 years, over a decade that this happened, separated. And note something like this, there were, again, I want to be delicate, but I want to be honest, there were certainly embarrassing moments for her. And this is something that she could not help. So after that kind of period of time, it is very, very likely that it was known that she had this type of condition. And you can only imagine the type of ridicule that she would have faced from this for 12 years of physical pain, humiliation, guilt, isolation, emotional distress, depression, misery, hopelessness. Everyone's situation is different. Now, some look at this and say, she went through that for 12 long years. I don't have a right to complain. Well, if I may disagree just a little bit, 12 months to some people would be the equivalent of her 12 years with this condition. 12 minutes without air would certainly be beyond the equivalent of anything that anybody has gone through. So your trial is your trial. Your situation is your situation. The end of your rope is the end of your rope. Don't spend your life comparing yourself to other people and say, they've got it worse than I do. I can't complain. My friend, if you are hurting, God cares about your hurt. He cares about your pain. He cares about all that you feel. Depending on our circumstances, we can look at something that we've gone through and we can say, I know exactly what she's going through. Having no options left, there is just something about having nothing left that we can possibly do that has a way of activating faith inside of us. Putting something in our minds that we didn't know was there, something that we had never experienced before. And some of the greatest miracles occur when we are completely out of options. Some of you may recognize the name Aaron Ralston. He was a hiker. He was a mountain climber, and he took a trip to the Blue John Canyon in Utah, and he told no one that he was going. And in 2003, he began a solo descent. And during this time, a boulder gave way and he fell between two canyon walls. And as he did, that boulder fell with him and his arm was caught between the canyon wall and the boulder, completely immobilized. And during this time, he spent 5 days, 5 days. Now, if you think you haven't gone through a long time, a long trial with something, you think, well, it's only been a few weeks, it's only been a month, it's only been a year. 5 days in this kind of circumstance, I believe, is well beyond 12 years of anything else that we could go through, because he spent that time slowly sipping what little water he had. The only meal he had with him was two burritos, and he ate it very slowly. There were other means that he used to survive, some too graphic to describe. And he came to a point where he took his pocket knife and began to carve his name into the canyon wall. He took out his camera, his video camera, and began to record his final farewell to his family. The flesh on the arm that was trapped began to deteriorate. It actually began to rot and to decompose. And he realized that his death was going to be extremely agonizing because of the sepsis that would occur because of that. But in one moment, after nearly 120 hours of being trapped there, he came to an epiphany. He had no other options. There was nothing that he could possibly do to break free. but if I can remove my arm. I won't describe the process, of course, but for an hour he spent removing his arm from his body so that he was able to get free. And even after that, the journey was not over. He was able to climb down the canyon wall and walk 6 miles. He, at that time, had lost 40 pounds. Part of that was his arm. He lost 25% of his blood and still had to walk and walk and walk and walk until finally he collapsed just as a family saw him. And they rescued him and took him to safety. And he has become a motivational speaker. He has shared his experience in a book. And he said after this, you will never know your limits until you've gone too far. Now imagine, my friend, if that kind of determination was put in us and it was coupled with the power of God that works inside of us. You think it's the end, my friend, but I'm here to tell you that there is power at the end of your circumstances. There is absolute power in having no options available. God can do great things when we find the faith in us. We can be at the end of our rope emotionally as well as circumstantially. I'm not going to get on a soapbox here, but mental health is a very important thing. At the school that I work with a young man at this school for the first part of the day, and during that time there was a scare. Now, I won't tell you many details, I won't tell you where that was, but there was a security scare, and it was particularly, and everything was fine, there was no imminent threat or anything like that, but, you know, particularly in the wake of things that have happened recently, it was particularly frightening for some. And there was the teacher that I work alongside with, her daughter called her in an absolute frantic, and she was very frightened because texting rumors had begun to swirl about what could happen during that day, about harm that could possibly come. And again, no harm was going to come or could come, but you know how rumors go. And even though there was no threat, this young girl was going through something terrible. This young girl was going through something frightening, and she's had these kind of panic attacks before, and she's, you know, seen someone about it. And I said, is it okay if I'll go to where she is, and I will walk with her and lead her over here? And so I did that, and she came, and the entire time I said, is it okay if I put my hand on your back? Are you okay with that? Now, I did not know her, but that is a technique that is often used in trauma and crisis situations that can bring a little bit of comfort. If you ever want to try it, take this little experiment, have someone tap the back of your neck with a pen. You will soon begin to get sleepy. It's very interesting. And so I went and I spoke with her as we went along. And one thing I told her, I wanted to make sure that she understood, and I believe that she did anyway. I said, it is okay that you feel like this. It is okay. You are not at fault here. You are not weak because of this. You are a strong person, and I think you are handling this situation absolutely phenomenally. God cares every time we get a little bit nervous. God cares about our feelings every time we lose something important to us. God cares when we walk around with a long-term mental illness. And now, all mental illness is on a spectrum. It can be anywhere from some discomfort on occasion to absolutely robbing us of our joy, and that is not God's will for our life. It can also come through hurt. And there was an incident years ago with my former pastor, Dr. Patterson. There was a man that he had mentored, and this man had made a very wrong decision. And because of that, there was a lot of fallout from that decision. And Dr. Patterson was deeply, deeply hurt by this. And he got to a point where he the whole time putting on a positive face and a positive almost spin, so to speak, for the church so that he could continue to be a good leader and be a good example. But years later, he shared that there was a moment that he was in his office and he said, God, I cannot do this anymore because this hurt that I have is beginning to turn into hate, and that is not your will for me. So God, I am at the end of my rope. I cannot do this the way it is any longer. And God said, I know exactly where you are. And God reached down his hand in that awful, painful circumstance and took away these feelings that he was having. heaven and gave him emotional healing. We don't always get the circumstantial healing that we want. But if God says you need a little bit more strength, don't worry. I've got just what you need. And we so often wonder, why would God let us get that far? Why would he let it get that bad? Is God uncaring? These things will go through our minds. And if they go through your mind, that does not make you a bad person. If you ever say in yourself, God, why? Friend, if your attitude is right and your heart is right, don't feel guilty about that. It is okay to wonder why. It is okay to say, God, I want to know why this is happening. That does not mean your heart is in the wrong place. That does not mean you are even giving up. Sometimes we think we can't take anymore, but then we get pushed a little bit further and we realize that we have strength that we did not know that we had. If you would have asked Aaron Ralston before that incident, do you think you could ever amputate your own arm? He would have said, absolutely not. But when it came down to it, and he was put in a situation he had never been in before, he found something in himself he did not know existed. And I tell you, every one of you right here, I tell you this in the Holy Ghost right now, every person in here has strength that you don't know about. Every person in here has faith that you have not discovered yet. Everybody in here has power that you have not used yet. And it may take circumstances getting just as bad as they can get. Sometimes these things happen because God wants our deepest involvement in his plan, our practical involvement, our emotional involvement, our spiritual involvement. And sometimes it takes things getting just that bad in order for us to get to that place. And sometimes it's only looking back when we can say, well, it makes a lot more sense now. I think another reason this happens, and this to the world might seem cold, but I think it's absolutely beautiful. God needs examples. God needs his people to be examples to the unbeliever, especially others who are coming close to the same place, because they can see us and we can share our testimonies and we can say, I went 2 years without a job. I didn't have any way without to do anything that I wanted to do. Things were changing. But God helped me the entire time. And when all hope was gone, when the time had run out, when all options were exhausted, God moved in and he did something I never thought he could do. I never imagined that my circumstances could be changed that the way they were. And the world needs to see that in us. The world needs to see that kind of faithfulness. I know we put on a happy face. That there's I have no idea what kind of song it is or who hears it, but there's a song, I think it's the second song, I really don't know. Put on a happy face. Just over and over again, just put on a happy face, okay? I don't know if they're being sarcastic or what, but sometimes that's all, just put on a happy face. And then, of course, there's an older song, you know, gray skies are going to clear up, put on a happy face, and put on a smile. And sometimes those smiles and those happy faces mean absolutely nothing. But what does mean something is our testimony, something that we can share. And they say, you're going through this? Is it okay if I tell you what my God did for me? Jesus was considered and called by many a rabbi. And so therefore, at the bottom of his garment was a small tassel. This tassel was referred to as in the Jewish tradition as a tzitzit. It was a few inches long. And sometimes when we read the word him, it's not him the way that we consider a him. My mother is a seamstress. I have had many pants hemmed throughout my life, okay? But she's never put a tassel on any of them. That's never happened. So what we think of when we think of him is not the exact thing. So in Jewish tradition, if you were a teacher, this is something you wore. It was sometimes it was attached to a prayer shawl that was worn. Sometimes it was attached to the bottom of a garment. And so that was the hem of his garment. And this woman who had the issue of blood, she was not allowed to touch a rabbi. By God's law, by God's own law, does it ever feel like even sometimes the rules that we have from God's word, it seems like that's preventing me. If I could just break God's word just a little bit, maybe it would be okay. But sometimes sometimes it seems like there's just catch 22 after catch 22, and we can't get anywhere. She was not allowed to touch him, not his clothes, but she found a loophole. She said, I can make contact with the hem of his garment. And people who may know that I have this condition, if they saw me touching his clothes or reaching out for his hand, then I would be in trouble. But if I can just get low enough to where people aren't noticing me quite as much, I think I would be allowed just to make contact with the hem of his garment. It was all she had left. And when she knelt down and reached out, she discovered that the end of her rope was the hem of his garment. My friends, when all options are exhausted, when there is nothing left for you to do, and you say, God, I can't take it anymore, reach out one more time, because the end of your rope will be the hem of his garment. And that's when he's going to do something you never thought he would do before. That's when the greatest of miracles happen. We need to see. There seems to be some confusion sometimes about things getting worse and worse. And in my own life, even right now in my life, there is something that I've been facing and dealing with for over a year now. And when it first started, I thought, I can handle this for a few weeks. Okay, a couple months. All right, a little bit longer. And I've had moments where I just look to the heavens and say, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And I have we'll call it a bad day. Anybody had a bad day? But then I get past it, and I thought, okay, I don't know how I survived that moment, but I did. And if another moment like that comes before my situation changes, I'll survive that one too. And then I'll just have to survive another one. And then I'll just have to survive another one. And if I come to the point that I cross this threshold and I say, God, no. Something has to happen right now, or I am not going to be okay. When all the money has been spent and the accounts are empty, when the insurance no longer pays, when the treatments have been received and there are no more available, when the medication has been taken but now has too little effect, when your issues with mental health have gone from tolerable to completely robbing you of quality of life, when the advice you've been given is no longer useful, when the prayers have been prayed and the revelations have not come, that is the moment to expect great things. That is the moment you can say, I can't stand what's going on, but God, I am looking for a miracle right now. I'm looking for something big. You said it in your word, and I want to receive it right now, God. Everybody stand up with me right now. That threshold is different for everyone. Much like the threshold of my voice, after a certain amount of time, starts to give out. I'll preach the word even if I have to whisper it. And that happened to me one time. I went to a place and my voice was completely non-existent. And I was croaking every word, and it was absolutely awful, and I could not speak. So what did I do? It was a kid's service. I made up a new sermon and pantomimed the whole thing. And then I croaked out an altar call. And when I started talking, people thought, oh, okay, that's why he hasn't talked. That really is awful. Okay? Whenever you come to the end, you'll know it. Whenever there genuinely are no options left, you'll know it. Whenever something has to give or it's all over, you'll know it. But better yet, God knew it long before you ever got there. In fact, God was there before you ever got there. So many years ago, I nearly lost my life to a terrible decision. And I was at the end of my rope. And I thought I was doing the right thing. And it was a terrible, terrible thing to do. And God was there before I got there. I've shared this testimony before. I won't go into it all right now, but even when some of the circumstances we face are of our own design, and we say, God, this terrible decision that I've made, I am so sorry I made it. I need you to forgive me. but I also need you to help me make it right. God says, okay, I can do that. You see, whether or not God helps you in your desperation is not contingent on whether or not the situation is your fault. God will change any situation just as quickly if it was something that happened because of external circumstances or if it happened because of our own making.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.